At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny My Perks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with My Perks. Find your My Perksonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know, I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Noontime hour here on Zolak and Bertrand, Beadle, Hardy, and McCone on this Wednesday. The Athletic has put together an MLB fan survey that had nearly 10,000 people respond. Decent sample size. About a number of different topics. Who do you blame for the labor issues that went on in baseball this offseason? How confident are you in the commissioner? How have the last few months affected fandom? Things of that nature. Some of them I do want to point out. One, would a World Series championship this year be legitimate? 66% of the people said yes.
Who's being surveyed on this again, Beadle?
Subscribers to The Athletic.
Okay.
And they're baseball fans, I'm guessing. So that probably should that might weight the results a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that should be considered in this.
A little bit.
But 66% of fans said a World Series championship this year would be legitimate. I thought the number would be lower. But I will say the fact that the playoffs are intact is probably what's giving people, you know, the confidence to say that.
Yes, I get it, but it's so much different. It's so much different than what the other leagues have done. The other leagues, their seasons were nearly complete, and they're just reconvening to finish off the seasons. And there, you know, there are people who are going to want to put asterisks on all the seasons, but I'm surprised, too, that so many people would say, yep, legitimate. How many games? 100, 120? No, 60. No, it's way
right. The NHL,
way low.
The NBA, they've played a full schedule by the end of this thing.
Pretty yep. much.
Baseball's not even close.
No.
Nowhere near it.
So that was a little bit surprising to read.
Yes.
Because I feel like baseball's been drastically changed and the other sports have not. So that's an interesting number. The other one is this. Are you in favor of a universal DH in baseball, meaning every league has the DH, pitchers are no longer hitting? I've talked about this many times. I am absolutely in favor of it. It's time for baseball to move on from pitchers hitting. It has been for some time. I am very much in favor of the DH. It could make for a better product, and I'm all for it. Are you guys for or against it?
I am for a universal DH. I feel like the pitcher coming up to the plate in most games is the equivalent of the useless character showing up on your TV show. Like,
yes.
Now I got to sit through this for a couple of minutes until this nonsense is over, which is not going to move the story along at all. It's just, you know, just chalk up the out. Let's go. Let's keep things moving here. So, but just from a pure entertainment standpoint, universal DH, I'm all in.
It makes the game more exciting. Why would you not want a DH, right? An extra guy that can actually hit. That's
right.
That's ultimately what I'd want to see.
Yep.
And it doesn't even make the game that more exciting, like, instantly. It's not like, ooh, the DH is coming up. It just makes it so that there are fewer of these moments in the sport where you say, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is this? You know, I don't want to see this guy get up there and hit. Isn't what is the point of this?
Isn't that what it boils down to, Beadle? We are looking for, in most of these cases, when talking about rule changes, in this case, a universal DH, we are trying to eliminate the what are we doing moments in sports. That's all we're
yes.
trying to do. We're not going to fix things, not going to change the world. Let's see if we can reduce the number of times throughout the course of a game or a season where we ask ourselves, what are we doing? Let's
what is the point here?
Yeah, let's cut down on those instances, and this would be one of them. This would be a huge
right.
one.
So 9,966 people responded to the question.
Wow.
And yes, let's go for a universal DH. People that are in favor come out to 57.3% of the respondents.
Oh, my God.
Nearly 43%, 42.7% said no, they are not in favor of it. And
why?
It apparently came down to almost like party lines here. People, I'll read right from the story on The Athletic. People who identified as rooting for a team in the American League are really in favor of the universal DH. 76% of AL-centric fans said they were in favor of it. By comparison, the majority of fans of teams in the National League were against it, but in a less drastic way. 56% said they were against it. I would take it from the American League fans, which I obviously am, that say, guys, when you are used to watching a DH and then you have to watch a pitcher hit in an interleague game, you say, what the hell am I looking at here? What am I? Take it from us. We've had the DH for a very long time. It is not new. You want the DH. You really do.
Do you ever want to have a David Ortiz? Do you ever want to have a David Ortiz on your team? Because let me tell you something. It's really fun. It's fun to have David Ortiz on your team. Now, you could have David Ortiz as a first baseman, but you just increase your chance of having someone like David Ortiz on your team when you have the DH. It's more fun. And okay, it's a regional bias. It's a fan bias. I've never been a fan of an NL team. In any place that I've lived or where I grew up, there were always American League teams that I rooted for. So, okay, I'm biased. But I also think it's better because, like you said, we've watched it work in interleague play at various levels throughout the season and postseason, and you know what works and what you like better. And it's not just what you're used to. There are other things that I'm not used to that we don't have that I would vote for. This isn't one of them. The DH is better.
I just think of all the great DHs of all time that could not have existed in the National League.
Yep.
Whether it's the, you know, Edgar Martinez, which is the obvious one, or David Ortiz, or Frank Thomas. I mean, Paul Molitor spent a decent amount of time as a DH. Jim Domi, DH. These are Hall of Fame caliber guys that could not play the sport in the National League as they got older in their careers. I mean, why would you want to take that out of your sport? Why would you not want to add more to the sport? And this directly impacts someone who currently plays for the Boston Red Sox, and that would be J.D. Martinez, who, if the Universal DH is adopted, could cash in a big way because all of a sudden he's got an entire league of suitors that didn't otherwise exist for him. So he's definitely rooting for it.
Yeah, they should.
By the way,
any DH in the league should want it to be universal so you can double your employment opportunities, of course.
Have you seen some of the issues that J.D. Martinez is going to have with this baseball season?
I have, yes. I'd never
see. He's got a.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say he's got a Boggsian routine before his games, is what I would say. And J.D. Martinez arrives at the park typically in the late morning and then goes through several rounds of batting practice in the cage before he hits on the field. His swings during that time are, and this is from the Boston Globe story that was written on J.D. Martinez, by the way. I want to give proper credit to this story. In a typical night game, he's there in the morning. He also is on an iPad recording those swings, according to Pete Abraham. And he then goes back and shares the videos for review or shares it with one of his personal hitting coaches that are on his payroll. And then he takes the time to break down data and video on the opposing starting pitcher and relievers that he could potentially face. And apparently he's doing everything that is involved here at the ballpark. Problem is, now, under the new rules, you cannot get to the ballpark earlier than 5 hours before first pitch, and that's not going to be enough time for him. So now he's got a problem on his hands.
Mm-hmm. I never celebrated this about J.D. Martinez. I was always, you know, accepting of it because it worked and I thought it was interesting. But it was never a problem. If it's going to be a problem, now we all have a problem. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. What's his career earnings at this point? That would be my first question to him. You know, how much money do you have in the bank? Because my guess is when you sign your contract with the Red Sox that pays you $24 million a year, and you're now going into the third year of it, my guess is there are tens of millions of dollars available to him,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know where he lives, if it's in the city or if it's outside the city. But if this is going to be that big of a deal, if I were him, I might consider making sure I have like a backyard and I'd set up a cage. That's what I would tell him.
Through 2019, he has earned $70,924,800.
Okay. $70 million. By David Price's old house. There's no pool in the back, so there's plenty of room for a batting cage. At least that solves the problem when they're home. For the 30-plus home games they could have. Let's assume they're a playoff team, even though I don't know that they are. But let's just say that, okay? At least that might solve half the problem. Build yourself a cage. You can afford it.
Wow.
You don't have to go to Fenway for that.
No.
You're right. If this is going to be a problem, we now all have a problem.
Right.
It's very true. 617-779-0985. Universal DH, yay or nay? What's the argument for the pitchers hitting? I always ask that question when this comes up. Defend that for me. Defend having the pitchers hit. Other than tradition. Stupid. 617-779-0985, where we are mixing that in. Jason Tatum had some comments yesterday, and Scottie Pippen had some comments on Tatum. We'll tell you what those were coming up next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think this has been a breakout season for Tatum. He started out this season sort of on a mission to separate himself from the other players who've grown and developed, as well as really showing some leadership, I think, by becoming an all-star this season. But his scoring was really starting to peak right there. He, again, separated himself a little bit from the other players to show that he was going to be the go-to guy, the offensive leader for that team. And I think if this team is to make a run, it has to rely on Tatum's ability to carry them offensively. And I feel like he's totally ready.
That's Scottie Pippen on Jason Tatum about the possibility of a breakout. How many more people are going to say this before these games begin, Hardy? I feel like there's a lot of people saying this, and that immediately gets me concerned. The more people that say Jason Tatum is going to be great, the more I say, stop saying that. Stop. Let's just let him be great. Can you stop saying that? Please, enough already.
You can just hear the narrative turning like 2 years from now. You remember back during the COVID year and all anyone could talk about was how great Jason Tatum was going to be? Like, oh, God, I can just hear it all too clearly. Stop.
So he was playing great. He was playing great before the season came to a halt. This we all know.
Yes.
I mean, I think he was sort of, you know, going on a mission there where he was going to, you know, sort of grow into what he's going to be. But has he done anything to deserve the praise of people saying he's going to lead his team and can lead his team to the finals or even more than that?
But I wonder,
has that been earned yet?
No, not yet. Certainly not yet. But this is the thing that I think about now in the NBA whenever, you know, one of these conversations pops up and it's other players who are doing the praising. I think to myself, is all this just lobbying to try and get Jason Tatum to join them wherever they're going to be? Is all this just like the long play? Like, you know, we've seen it so often now where teams are being put together with guys who they just want to play with other guys. It has nothing to do with, you know, what they really think about a certain player or a certain city or a certain situation. No, I want to be part of a super team too. So what's the best way to go about doing that? By ingratiating yourself with as many guys as you can who think you have the potential of being superstars in this league, and just be on board with them early. You know, be on record.
So get as many people saying about you that you are a superstar and you're going to break out.
Well, say that about as, and if you're a player, say that about as many people as you can who are thinking you're going to break out, because that could serve you well down the road when you're trying to be part of one of these super teams.
Well, I don't think Scottie Pippen's going to be a part of any teams anytime soon.
Yeah, well,
I get what you're saying.
So it's not in this one particular instance. It's, you know, it's Pippen saying it, but this seems to be the attitude. And whether it's LeBron James saying it about Jason Tatum or it's other players around the league, do you really think it's just because they're all good guys and they're all in this together? Or is it because they have designs on playing with a player like that at some point in the near future?
I think when it's other players, current players, it's what you just described.
Yeah.
That's what I think it is. When it's media, I'm not sure what's motivating it, but there are plenty of media guys right now saying the same thing. And we've heard people say about the Celtics so many times now that because they have three guys who average over 20 points a night, that they could go deep. I mean, that's what it's been. I mean, we've heard that repeatedly over the last couple of months. Maybe we're running out of things to say, but I don't know. I just feel like I'd like to see some of it first with Kemba Walker being the new piece this year. Like, can we just see it a little bit first before we go all in? Because it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous when you praise teams before they've done it.
Yeah, you should be.
You don't want them to be too comfortable.
Well, I don't know if nervous is the right word, but it's premature at best to say that. And I think Jason Tatum is that kind of talent. And I think he showed, for the most part, that, you know, you can have every confidence that, you know, he is going to, you know, continue to ascend. But it's still a little bit early. Until you don't even need the hardware. I'm not saying you need the win before you can say something like this. But, you know, how about a real chance in a conference finals? How about a trip to the finals? How about something along those lines before you start talking about him being, you know, considered in that category? I don't think it's too much to ask.
Yeah. I think it's fair to ask those things, and fair to say that maybe, you know, do a little damage first, please. Do a little bit of a little something before,
right,
before we get to this point where we're anointing players or teams. But in addition to that, there was some commentary from Jason Tatum yesterday. And he spoke and did one of these Zoom press conferences, which, from what I can tell, Hardy, you're working pretty well to this point.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have very many major glitches. He spoke yesterday about his decision-making process. We had seen some of these comments yesterday when he had first spoken. Here he is describing part of his reasoning behind choosing to go to Orlando.
And I think that's another reason that I decided to play, because I seen that there were reports out there that said I wasn't going to play because of my contract. And then I saw reports that said that was a lie. And, you know, I never talked to anybody about that or said I was or wasn't going to play because of my contract. And I knew that if I didn't play without, you know, people hearing why, you know, I wasn't going to play, I knew they would assume that I didn't want to play because I didn't want to risk, you know, losing out on, you know, that contract. And that would be insensitive, especially during this time with so many people who are filed for unemployment, you know, for me to be worried about, you know, X amount of dollars. So that didn't have anything to do with sway if I was going to play or not.
So that's him saying, if I were to not go to Orlando, how would that have looked? How would that have looked to the people who are out of work or on unemployment right now? And I'm getting X amount of dollars, and what would that look like? I'll tell you, it definitely shows some awareness on his part.
It shows awareness, maturity, whatever, you know, empathy, something that seems to be lacking in a lot of these discussions these days. And it, look, is there anything wrong with him not wanting to be perceived as being an a-hole? No. I think a lot of people are motivated by that very thing. I want to be a great player and I want to win, but also I want people to like me. And I think a lot of people are not going to like it if you tap out as something because of these concerns when so many other people would kill for the chance right now to be able to go to work and be able to make any kind of money, much less big money. So he's not wrong, and B, he's not wrong for doing it for those reasons. Look, I just don't want people to think I'm a jerk for not playing. I think it's an honest answer, and I think it's one that a lot of us can relate to.
I just want to apologize, by the way. Apparently on the simulcast, you were able to hear me talking to Tom during that clip.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there's also an echo that's going on television.
Oh!
I don't know. I have no control over that. That's between the TV station and the radio station.
What were you saying to Tom? Because I couldn't
Nothing. Hear it. We were talking about the problem, and I said, who's hearing it? Are listeners hearing it? Is it on radio or is it just on TV? So that's what that conversation was about.
You weren't yelling.
I'm sorry for ruining that clip for you on TV.
You weren't yelling at T-Bone like, you better fix it, you big knucklehead.
No.
That's too bad.
He was bashing you pretty bad.
No, I figured.
Pretty bad. But by the way, to respond to that, I don't think players look bad if they're not going. Like, if they're not going right now, it's because they don't feel comfortable doing it. You know, I don't feel like David Price is a bad guy for not doing it. I don't feel like it's insensitive that he's not doing it.
No,
I appreciate that Jason Tatum does think about other people and is thinking about fans, and I'm appreciative of that, but I also don't think he would have looked like a bad guy.
Well, two things, Beetle. In the abstract, no. I don't think they look as bad, and right now with the surges, I don't think so. Once it's put into practice, and then there are guys playing, the guys who aren't there, I don't know that, A, you're going to have as positive a feeling about them. And if people are on the fence, or they really don't care one way or the other, the narrative is not going to swing in their favor. If there are other guys out there playing 3 weeks from now, and people would say, where's Jason Tatum? Oh, he didn't want to play. Oh, why? Does he have a pre-existing condition? No, he just didn't feel safe. It's not going to sway well in their favor. Now, maybe it won't move the needle a whole lot, and not a lot of people are going to change their opinion. But if there is any change, it is going to be to his detriment in terms of how he's perceived. So he's not going to hurt himself by playing. That's all.
617-779-0985. That's in the mix as well. Also, useless television and movie characters. That is still up for debate and for suggestions. We'll get back to more of those. Also, a quick thought on Patrick Mahomes before we hit those phones. We'll do it next.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up? How important is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zolak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Is the telephone number. I just got a great email, Hardy, that I have to tell you about.
You going to tell me about it right now?
Yeah, useless characters on shows.
Oh, okay, good.
Brian says, someone who appears and ruins the show, corporate Jim. Down on corporate Jim is Brian.
I got a fair number of... actual emails here that I have yet to go through, but one of them that popped up a couple of times and you said Jim, and it reminded me of The Office. Andy from The Office. There are people who hate Andy from The Office. She never bothered me all that much. But I've heard this brought up before, like, not just the Andy takes over his boss episodes, but just Andrew Bernard in The Office. Useless character. I always thought that was a bit harsh.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Quick thought on a follow-up from yesterday. Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Andrew Brandt writes this on SI. He says, Patrick Mahomes is giving up a lot. My first thought and my continuing thought, why in the world would Pat Mahomes negotiate such a long deal? NFL teams love long-term deals. It gives them cost certainty, and unless there is a full guarantee, which there never is, the team has optionality to exit the deal. Further, their top-tier quarterback market goes up every year. There will obviously be new leaders after Mahomes sets pace this year. Thus, the real key to the deal would be for Mahomes to have that optionality on his side, allowing him to either, one, opt out of the deal at an early juncture, as NBA superstars have regularly negotiated, or two, have market adjustment to quarterbacks that ascend past him in the marketplace. For example, you know, I've got to be able to be the top within the top five paid quarterbacks at all times. Or three, have a built-in adjustment to the ascending salary cap, which would mean he tells the Kansas City Chiefs, I have to take up X percent of the cap every single year. It says, according to reports, Mahomes was unable to achieve any of these options. In other words, the Chiefs were able to entice him with a huge number to avoid any precedents that could be used by other players on their team or other teams. Without that, it's hard to see the value of locking in for such a long term, unless, of course, getting a magic number was the goal, and it appears it was, that they wanted to be able to say they got $500 million. That's what maybe got the deal done. That's not good. Not good, Hardy. Regret that thing down the road.
No. I mean, if that's all you want to say, do you believe that, though? Do you believe they would be that short-sighted in order to say, look, at the end of this thing, no matter what else happens, we have to be able to say that we got $500 million? Like, if that was the case, then that's a dumb goal to have. Yeah, there are many other things that you could ask for and want for and make your priority other than just having it be a number that is a big standard number that no one else has achieved.
Great headline, isn't it?
It's a good headline.
It's a shocking number. It's a shocking contract. And it's a crazy big number.
But are you doing it? But what do you want at the end of the day? Do you want to be able to hang that headline on your wall, or do you want to have done what's the best for you security-wise, career-wise, and options-wise? You can have all these things that will serve you well for the rest of your life, or you can have a headline that will, you know, line tomorrow's bird cages. Which do you want?
And maybe he was able to be convinced into doing that because it was 2 years early. I mean, they didn't have to give him a contract extension.
Correct.
They could have let him, right? They could have said, no, you're on your deal. We're going to play it out, and we'll get to the end, and you'll either do a new deal with us or you'll be franchised. They could have played that with him. They didn't. They gave it to him early, and maybe that's what he gave them in return, but he still gave them too much. And if I were him and they wanted to get a deal down, I said, let's do a five-year deal. And then as the Kansas City Chiefs, you know you have me locked up for the next 7 years.
Yeah, when we were first talking about this...
That's not enough? 7 years is not enough for a team to feel comfortable with their situation? Like, oh, you got a great quarterback locked up for at least 7 more years. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that seems like that should have been enough. The more time that goes by on this, and at the outset, and I still think it's a pretty good deal for Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he got swindled in any way. I think he is going to end up doing very, very well on this contract. But if forced to pick a winner in this, after a couple of days and learning a little bit more and reflecting on it a little bit more, who do you pick as the winner if forced to pick one?
It's the Chiefs. They won.
They did. But it could still end. It could, you know, the longer it goes on, I believe, the more that will level out, and it will be, you know, the classic cliched win-win, or it could end up being a win in Mahomes' favor, but you have to go until the very end in order for that to happen.
Yeah. Let's go to some of your calls, 617-779-0985. Mark in Newton's been hanging on. Thanks, Mark. What do you got?
hey, brutal characters, just absolutely brutal characters are Bridget and Ray Donovan and Debbie and Shameless. But the worst, the absolute worst that I've seen in a while, the other day I turned on the TV and Comedy Central was on and it was Grown Ups too. David Spade, the way he wears his hat is unbearable. It's like he has like his mom hair. Listen, he has like his mom haircut and he has like the hair in his eyes with his hat like lightly placed on his head and he's still like brushing the hair out of his eyes. It's like, it's not a single athletic bone in this guy's body, like just completely uncoordinated, and he's wearing this hat and it's so frustrating. And also, actually piggybacking on that, Richard Lewis in Curb Your Enthusiasm, they have him wearing a Ohio State hat while he's golfing. It's like they put, it's like when you go to like the beach and you make your kid wear a hat, or like if you go to a nursing home and you bring, or if you go to a nursing home and put your grandparents, it really is. It's like going out on a like a patio at the nursing home and just giving your grandfather a hat and be like, here, pop this on. The way Richard Lewis wears that hat, it's unbelievable.
Okay. I'm going to look it up right now. I'm looking at images of David Spade wearing the hat in Grown Ups 2. The guy is spot on. It is unsettling in the way they have, you know, done up his hair and perched that hat on top of his head in order to still have the hair flowing underneath. But now I have to go look at Richard Lewis wearing the hat on the golf course in Curb.
It's like your grandpa out on the patio at the nursing home. Here, we'll put on a hat. Have a hat. We'll pick that up on the other side. Your call's next.
Oh, God.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Wake up, lip readers.
Jacob in Dorchester, are you an expert lip reader?
It's the show whose name is on everyone's lips.
Hey!
Zolak and Bertrand.
Well, you might need the lip reading because you don't listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Six one seven 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 nine zero ninety eight five is the telephone number. We've been able to really light up the phones with a couple of things over the last couple of days, and this is one of them. Useless characters in an otherwise good television show or movie. So why don't we get back to it with you on that? Casey's in California. What's up, Casey?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Before we get to the show character, I just want to touch on something we talked about yesterday. I think Talking Heads' Take Me to the River is way better than Al Green's version.
Oh, we're doing the cover songs again.
I could get on board with that, yeah. All right.
That's good.
It's not a bad one.
The worst show character, you guys, it's not a TV show. You guys might have heard of the show. But I love this show, but the character's the worst. Zoe, on your show, Hardy, you're the best villain ever.
Oh, that's a mean thing to say. That's terrible.
That's not nice.
It's awful.
That's not nice at all. That's two people that have ripped him today.
That's not nice. He's not here to defend himself, and we're not going to defend him. So that's just bad.
So there goes that.
Yeah. Damn it. Why can't we defend him, Beetle?
What do you want me to say?
Something in defense of your co-host. Come on.
I said that's not nice.
Okay.
It's not. It's not nice. It's very mean. You think he's listening?
Well, he sent us a picture of him out on the boat, which I edited and sent back to him. So I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
Doubt it. Nate's in Bridgewater. If we can take his call. There we go.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
How are you? I think Hottie might agree with me on this one. She is somewhat of an integral character, but I just hate her, is the therapist in The Departed.
She kind of ties
both stories together, but God, every time she's on screen, I just want to gouge my eyes out with her awful accent and the stupid stuff she says. Oh my God.
Let me tell you something. You have just driven your boat straight into the Hardy wheelhouse.
I don't think we have time for this.
What, we really don't have time for me to go off on The Departed, but thank you, and let me say one of my...
Wait, do you mean go off in general on the movie? You don't like the movie, correct?
That is correct. Oh. And let me just say that when we get into the discussion, and it's generally me, T-Bone, and Billy, one of my main points is people don't talk like that. And the therapist is the biggest abuser of that in that movie. When she says things like, I got to say, your vulnerability is really freaking me out right now. Who talks like that? Not even a therapist talks like that. Is it real? Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's just, it's garbage. And they gave Scorsese the Oscar for it because
because they felt bad for him.
They felt bad for him because he has made, you know, so many amazing quality all time great films. And they're like, finally, there's nothing else really this year. We'll give it to him. And that'll be kind of like a sorry about screwing you over on Goodfellas and Casino and all these other great movies that you've made. Here you go, pal. But that movie, you're absolutely right. And it's not even her fault because just dialogue, plot, everything. There are so many things wrong with that movie. And people just love it. Go, oh, it's Boston. Now watch it. Really, really watch it. I dare you.
I have to say your vulnerability is really freaking me out right now.
That's the movie you love? That's Hardy the movie you love.
Hardy references that particular line every time this movie comes up. Every time.
Thank you.
You go right to that line.
Great call. Great call.
Consistent take of yours for many years.
Thank you. And I've watched that movie so many times. I just hate watch it. I hate watch it whenever it's on.
You feel better now?
Yeah, I do. I do. I've never had a chance to say it before. How often has that come up in conversation on the air? Never. It just did.
Now you've got it. Now you've got it out there on the air. Arrow pointing up or down on Scorsese these days?
Oh, I see. You want to say down because of The Irishman?
Yeah, because I just think his last two decades were not nearly as good as his previous two decades. I mean, we're talking about 40 years longer, 50 years worth of films that he's been directing. I would say the 80s and 90s were far better to him than the 2000s have been.
Well, I will say that The Irishman, while not without its problems, is better than I think it gets credit for. And I did watch that a second time, and I gotta say, it's a good movie. It's long, but The Wolf of Wall Street?
He was a producer on it? I think is his best recent movie that he's done.
Well, he hasn't done a whole lot of other movies recently.
Wolf of Wall Street's gonna be close to, what,
7 years
old?
Oh,
that's it? Okay. Yeah.
I mean, the guy is almost 80 years old. What do you want him to do?
I know, but in the 80s and 90s, you're talking about Casino.
Yeah, well, that's when he's in his wheelhouse. That's when he's in his 40s and 50s.
You're talking about Raging Bull, and there's just all those great movies in there that I, you know.
Right, because he's in.
I think he's lost a little bit off the fastball here.
The guy's almost 80 years old. What are we going to be saying about you when you're when you're 78 years old? You know, Beatle, he had some really good takes in the 2010s, and in 2020 he was good. But you know, once he started in on the of course he was in his 40s and 50s when he's making those movies. That's when you're in your prime and your working years. Yes, I'm not taking anything away from Scorsese because he hasn't made a movie as good as Goodfellas in the last 10 years. Stop it.
All right. Fine.
I see that he's executive producer for the TV series The Devil in White City. You ever read that book, Beetle?
I've not.
It's good. It's really good. So we got that to look forward to. You know what? I was thinking about stepping in front of a bus on the way home today, but instead, I'm gonna keep going so I can watch the Devil in White City TV series with Marty Scorsese as executive producer. There's something to live for right there.
John in Medway. Hi, John.
Well, you guys teed this one up for me pretty nicely. I will stipulate that the actress that played the role is drop-dead gorgeous, but Ginger, Ace Rothstein's wife in Casino.
You got a problem with the character of Ginger? She's frustrating, but...
Yeah, she's very frustrating. She's not likable.
So,
what is it? What is it that bugs
her role? They could have kept her role compelling in down to like 8 or 10 minutes.
Huh.
I feel like that movie was like 40 minutes longer because they spent so much time on her being either drunk or drug-addled or screaming while Lester Diamond was getting the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of hot. I don't have a problem with the way it was portrayed or written or anything else. I mean, you're talking about Casino. What's not to like about Casino or Goodfellas? No, I'm not going to co-sign on that. Can't do it. Trying to see your point, but I can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, she was one of the antagonists really in the movie. I mean, she was a threat at all times because she was such a mess. And she could slip up and talk to the FBI. I mean, she was bad news, man.
Yeah.
She served a purpose. That she did. She was hateable, for sure. But she served a purpose in the movie. And she's based on a real-life character, too. Don't forget that.
Somebody brought up someone who is... I don't want this to be too mean, because I think she's talented, and I think she's, you know, she's done some good work. But... And it's a bad movie. It's a bad movie to start with. So it's a bad character in a bad movie. I'm giving you all this, Beetle.
Fine. What is it?
Sofia Coppola in The Godfather 3. Not to mention she's got a bit part in Peggy Sue Got Married. Man, when she shows up, just things go from bad to unwatchable. Have you seen The Godfather 3?
Yes, but not repeatedly like I've seen The Godfather.
So do you know who Sofia Coppola is in that movie?
Yes.
It's bad. So, it's bad news, man. It's real bad news. You know what? I'm going to put Connie, the character of Connie Corleone, pretty much across the board. In otherwise good movies, Godfather's 1 and 2. Not a big fan of Connie. I do not enjoy her time on screen.
How old do you think Sofia Coppola is? I just looked it up.
She is 52.
49.
Oh, all right. Pretty
49
close.
Years old.
She directed the Bill Murray movie, the Lost in Translation. You like that movie?
You know, I did not love that movie. It was okay. I don't think it was as brilliant as some people made it out to be.
I thought it was interesting. I can't recall seeing anything else like it, or at least up until that movie came out. So it gets a lot of points for originality.
For being different.
Yeah, that's, why not?
Yeah. Ben and Bill Ricka. Ben, go ahead.
Hey, I can't believe that people are saying Andy from The Office is the worst. You know, by far the most, my most hated character in The Office is Kelly Kapoor. God, she makes me want to rip my ears out. It's so bad.
I love Kelly. Oh. I think Kelly's great. When Ryan first comes back and she tells him that she's pregnant,
yeah.
just to go out so she can go out to dinner with him. I have a date. I think Kelly's a great character.
And then she has to drop on him that she's not pregnant.
Right. But
remember this. Yes.
She makes up all the bad customer service comment cards about Dwight and Jim. Because they didn't go to her American Idol viewing party.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, she's fantastic. Good character. Nope. Not with you on that one, sir. I'm sorry.
We'll get to more of your calls on this very topic right after headlines, no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.